The format for today, because I realize some people need to leave after 1 hour, and so after 1 hour, I will sound the gong, and those who would like to can. And then after that hour, I can answer any questions, including cover what you was asked last week by Carol. So before I give the instructions, we're going to soften the mind first. So very important to find a comfortable posture. That way, if the body is nice and relaxed, then the mind will follow suit. This is to soften the mind to prepare it for meditation. Pun for this evening. This is a gettable one, okay? Where does a woman with one arm shop? The second-hand store. So please value this hour we have together. It's precious. So let go of the events of the day. No matter what's happened, let's just be here right now. Enjoy this space where we are able to cultivate stillness. And during the meditation, if thoughts do arise, which they will, for this session, for this hour, try this method, which I actually haven't used before. But I have been using it in the last few days, and it is effective. So when a thought arises, as per usual, let it go. But if this doesn't, this is not working, then give it a name or label, such as thinking. By acknowledging it, maybe they'll allow the mind to let go more easily and then go back to the object of meditation. And the third method is to label it. For me, I use the word Buddha, or Buddha actually, Buddha, because I have a lot of confidence and trust in the Buddha. Or you can use thinking, or peace, joy. So I'm going to use Buddha. Buddha, so I'm actually mentally saying this syllable. Give it, and then pay attention to the gap, to the space afterwards. Bud, space, da, space. Pay attention to the syllable the word as well as the space. Would, space, da, space. Or thinking, think, space, ing, space. So try this third method if the other methods are not successful. Or if you would just like to use this method solely for this hour to see if it works for you. Because I got this idea, this new technique that I haven't used in the past, Mahjong Brahm. So maybe work for you as well, because it's good to have different tools in the meditation toolbox. And Ajahn Brahm says the skilled meditator is in selecting the right tool at the right time. So please dim the lights, Judy. Thank you. Check the posture. Relax the shoulders. Ensure the back is comfortable. Make the belly nice and soft. Allow the arms and hands to be comfortable. Is there any tension in the hamstrings and buttocks? If so, relax these muscles. Do the knees feel cool, the kneecaps? Are the feet comfortable? How do the eyes feel? Open up the chest. Move the head back slightly. Is the posture. Comfortable. And promote alertness. Is there any itching anywhere? Simply observe the itch. Scan the body from head to toe, from toe to head. To any areas that are uncomfortable. Call for attention. If so, if possible, release the tension. How do the lips feel? Is there a gentle smile? What's the state of mind? Is there sleepiness? Any wanting? Let the wanting go. Is there any ill will? Let this go also. Contact with the joy that's in the mind. Allow the joy to form a natural smile on the lips. Enjoy the silence. Let the body take care of itself now. We've made it as comfortable as possible. Are there many thoughts? Don't get involved in the story. Let it go. If this doesn't work, give it a label. Thinking. If this doesn't work, think space. In space. Or Buddha. Space. Da. Space. So this word can be used as the meditation object. Until the mind is ready to watch the breath . So when we watch the breath, feel cool air brushing against the sides of the nostrils as it goes in on the out breath. Feel the sensation of the air caressing the sides of the nostrils on its way out. Maybe it's slightly warmer. Let's go back to the work we've chosen. And focus on the word, each syllable, and then the gap or space after that. So using the syllable and then the space as a meditation object. When the thoughts are fewer, let the word go and simply focus on the gap, on the space between thoughts. If there are many thoughts, focus on each syllable and then the space. If there are few thoughts, no need to focus on the syllable. Simply focus on the space, gaps between thoughts. And finally, when the mind is ready to settle on the breath, please do so. Let's be here right now. Enjoy the rest of this meditation in relative silence. There's a few more minutes left. Please enjoy these last few minutes. Please turn on the lights, Chewy. Thank you. Before we cover the topic that was suggested last week for the remaining part of this evening. If there are any questions or comments in relation to the session so far, now's the time to speak up. The topic for the rest of this evening is how to be less controlling. We need to ask ourselves why we have the tendency to control. As you know, the three major defilements or bad qualities are greed, hatred, and delusion. If we don't feel safe or secure, we want to control the world. Our body, our mind, our home, and those who we live with, and if you are the leader of a state, then we try to control what happens in the state or even the country. So we want to feel safe and secure. So controlling is part of greed or craving or desire. Wanting to control so that we feel better, because we're not used to the discomfort. The reason why we want to control is because we're not yet comfortable with unpleasant sensations. Because each being, each human being is comprised of form, this body, of vedana, feeling tone, of pleasant tone, of pleasant sensations, unpleasant sensations, and neutral sensations. Each being also is made up of three other components, but those are not the topic for tonight. So when we feel unpleasant sensations, we want to change them. We want to push them away. We want to rid of them. We want to get rid of them. So for example, if there's an ache in my left hamstring, which is here, which I'm feeling at the moment, it starts as a mental feeling. It's not emotion, it's a sensation in the mind. But it's also a sensation in the body part. So if we weren't taught and didn't practice mindfulness, we simply change our posture repeatedly. So if I move it, it's more comfortable now, but then my right sole, my right foot, the bottom of my foot is now uncomfortable. So I want to move it now. Now my knee's uncomfortable. We can do this for the whole evening. If we're not experienced with awareness and mindfulness and the feeling tone, nose vedana in Pali, of unpleasant sensations, neutral sensations, and pleasant sensations. So with the pleasant sensations, for example, the mind's relatively peaceful now, this mind. So if we didn't understand about the suffering that's inherent in holding on, we want to hold on to this state of mind, this peace in the mind, this joy. But we know all conditioned phenomena are impermanent. They're bound to change. So if you hold on, you suffer. So we try not to hold on to pleasant sensations in the mind and in the body. So in order to work with the tendency, the habit, it is a habit to try to control things, our little world, the world around us, our life, the life of our loved ones, because we don't feel safe. So if we at least understand about vedana, about the feeling tone, or want to control, hold on to sensations that are pleasant, and pushing away, getting rid of sensations that are unpleasant, at least we know that we're not yet comfortable with these sensations. So for example, if there's an aspect of our life that we want to change, such as a pain in the body. So we can take pain medication in order to, because when we have that pain, it's a mental feeling or sensation as well as a physical sensation. If it's a moderate to severe pain, then it is advisable to take medication to alleviate the pain, as long as the side effects of medication are not adverse. But even when we take that medication, there may still be some residual pain. How can we actually get rid of this residual pain? We cannot. So, we learn to sit with the unpleasant feeling in the mind caused by the residual pain. We learn to observe, befriend, and accept the residual pain that we feel in the body, because we cannot control this residual pain in the mind and body. So we find a way to be contented without wanting to change the pain. So in the same manner, if, for example, a loved one behaves a certain way and it upsets us, so when we upset, we feel the anger in the mind. So that's a mental feeling of unpleasantness, or mental sensation of unpleasantness in the mind. And with anger, we also feel the unpleasant sensation in a body part, such as the tummy, or the throat, or the face, or the shoulders. So when the right time is right, and our loved one is receptive, we can speak with them to say what they did or said was hurtful to us, but in a gentle way. That's all we can do. So we control what we can, but if they still continue with a bad habit and continue to hurt us intentionally or unintentionally, and we have decided to continue to live there and have them in our life, then whenever they misbehave, we feel the unpleasantness in the mind because of their behavior. We feel the unpleasantness of their behavior in our body, and we befriend, we accept this unpleasantness. We find contentment because we cannot do anything about another person's behavior. We've already spoken to them. If they're not going to change, we can't do anything about it. So we've decided to live here. So we're going to find a way to not be bothered about the unpleasantness in the mind or the body from their behavior. As a result, after a while, the unpleasantness becomes neutral or pleasant, because we were not reacting to it anymore. So this is a way to be less controlling of our body, of our mind, of those immediately around us, and of the whole world. Are there any comments or questions?
I just was reminded of two incidents that both involved me taking somebody to a plane, and my anxiety that would be late. One of them was my grandson, the other one was a person I would describe as a psychopath. And both of them kept making things happen that made it more likely to be late. And I would get more anxious. And then suddenly I saw it and I said, I don't care if I'm late. And I really meant it. I mean, you know, I didn't just make that up. I said, I'm done, just inside. And that behavior completely changed. I was giving them a hook to pull on. I could change my attitude. And because they were both so into that kind of control game that, you know, it had an instant effect. They knew something changed. And that's an unsubtle example of how I discovered how you know, I was causing something that I thought was out there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It was out there, but yeah. You know, I was triggering it in some mysterious way. Tonight, I was especially calm and able to meditate at the beginning, and I slowly developed an unpleasant sensation in my lower back. And I did certain things, like bring a certain kind of attention to it that would perhaps relieve it. But just now, as you were talking, I was still working with it and just accepting it. And I actually did better listening to you than I did by myself in some ways. I actually changed my relationship to the pain, which I can feel right now.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's like it's easier to accept for some reason. I
yes.
think listening to some encouragement helps.
Yeah.
You know, it's on that. But an unpleasant sensation, you can only do so much with it. And, you know, and then you can accept it. And that changes things.
Thank you, Lorenz.
You know, that's listening to you, those are the two things that came up for me. Dramatic, late for the plane game.
Yeah, yeah.
And the subtle
yes.
thing of just an ache. You know, I was going really, really going well, really focused on my breath easily, you know, without strain, without
yeah.
trying to force anything with, you know, I was less controlled than usual.
Yeah.
And then this, you know, pain started. I did not, you know, rise up against it and try to control it or make it go away. But I did. I did have to, you know, learn something to have it not bother me so much. You know, just be part of the meditation.
Thank you.
What was happening?
Was that helpful, Carol?
Yes, it was.
Okay, good.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Any comments, Judy?
No, I did tweak on a few things myself.
Yeah, yeah. So we can end the evening with the Metta Sutta, because we didn't chant it before, which is a good thing basically, because me. Now we actually have more awareness to be able to enjoy the wholesome qualities described in the Metta Sutta.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would like a copy, Judy would distribute it. Thank you, Judy.
Because then I don't put all kinds of energy into worrying whether I'm going to forget or not.
Well, I actually have two versions. The Bonjana one, where I ordained, basically, as well as the one here, which is slightly different. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness, and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, Contented and easily satisfied, not busy with duties and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove. Wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be happy. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they're weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.